Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Hey, it's time to talk about some Western Pennsylvania sports, and a man that really left his mark on Western PA football was that of Art Rooney. He did quite a bit for many sports in the area, but the Chief is definitely well-renowned as a founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers football franchise. We talk about his life and his accomplishments in football in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And where would I be if I didn't get a chance to talk about the region that I was born in and grew up in and its relationship to football? I live in one of the most vibrant areas of the world for producing football and some of the great things that have happened to football. And hey, I want to shout it to the mountaintops, and I'm going to use this forum. So I think each Saturday, we're going to call it Western Pennsylvania Saturday. We're going to talk a lot about football from all generations and how its respect is being paid to things that happen in Western PA. And today we're going to start with one of my favorite figures in that, and that's with Art Rooney. Art Rooney Sr., that is, you know, the founder of the Steelers. We're going to do some work on his bio today and just tell you the kind of man and the hardships and the gambles that Art Rooney took to create one of the greatest franchises in probably all of sports, and especially one of the great ones in the NFL. So anyone and everyone that has knowledge of football know that the Rooney family is the majority owner stakeholder of the NFL's Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. It also seems to be understood that the family has had control of the team since its inception and inaugural season in the NFL in 1933. Well, there's a little bit of a chink in the armor to that story, but oh, what a story it is. And we'll go through the life of Pittsburgh franchise's founder, the Chief, Art Rooney Sr. Now, Art was born to the parents of Maggie and Dan as Arthur Joseph Rooney Sr. That was his name. Well, it didn't have the senior at that time, but Arthur Joseph Rooney at the time, in the small town of Coulterville, Pennsylvania, on January 27th, 1901. And he had four brothers and three sisters, and one of his very first loves as a child was sports. See, his father ran a beer garden in the Monongahela Valley area, and where his mom stayed home and cared for the kids in a homestead. And the family sold everything in 1913 and made a move to Pittsburgh, and Dan and Maggie opened up a restaurant and bar, and the family lived above it. Now, just think about all the great things that happen if you're in that environment, you know, a restaurant, a bar, people coming in from all around the neighborhood. And one of the items I'm sure they talk about, especially when the boys come in to down a few suds, they're talking about the great sporting events around town. And I'm sure that hit young Art's ears and sounded like violin music. Well, the children all attended parochial school in the town, and then Art later went on to Duquesne University Prep School. And Art Rooney was an athlete most of his young life, playing baseball and football, but his real love was that of the game of boxing. Now, after his high school education was completed, he attended Temple University in Philadelphia on a sports scholarship. Following his graduation, he decided to pursue a career in sports of all things, boxing being the number one sport on his list, closely followed up by baseball and football. And Art was a pretty good fighter in his day, too. In 1918, at just the age of 17 years old, he ended up winning the AAU welterweight belt in amateur boxing. That's quite an accomplishment for sure. He He also qualified for the 1920 Olympic Games and played minor league baseball with the Flint, Michigan Vehicles Ball Club and the Wheeling Stogies from nearby West Virginia, which isn't that far from Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh had a semi-pro football team then, which Art also played right around 1921. They were called the Hope Harvey's team, partly named for the fire department in the Hope Ward of Pittsburgh, and the other part was for their physician, Dr. Walter Harvey, who tended to the team members when they were hurt, you know, in that very brutal game at the time. And, you know, old Doc did not charge them anything for patching up the boys to get them back on the field. So he was sort of an unfinancial sponsor, but a very good motivator and fixer-up kind of guy to get the boys back on the field. Now, Rooney soon founded the team, put things together, and eventually recruited more players to the team, including his brothers Dan and J.P. Rooney. And playing a few more seasons, the team finally was lucky enough to get a sponsor, and it was Loeffler's Electronics Store that became their sponsor, and they renamed the team after one of its best-selling products at the store, the Majestic Radio. Hence, the team became known as the Majestic Radios. The team's affiliation with Loeffler's ended prior to the team's season in 1931, and when James decided to run for Pennsylvania General Assembly. So Art took it up and said, hey, I'm going to give a free ad for my brother. Let's call our team the J.P. Rooneys as a way to promote his brother's campaign. And James Rooney would go on to win the election easily. I'm not sure if so much it was the football team's name, but, you know, the Rooney family is pretty well respected, and they probably were back then too. But having a football team named after you probably doesn't hurt either. The Rooney Brothers semi-professional teams actually were pretty good, as they won at least two Western Pennsylvania Senior Independent Football Conference titles in the early 1930s. In 1933, as the Pennsylvania Blue Laws were about to be repealed, there was a feeling in the air, and I'm sure having J.P. Rooney in the Senate, that probably helped things out, and old Art probably got some insider information on that. Rooney applied for and then received a franchise in the National Football League for the nifty sum of $2,500 he had to pay league offices. The Rooneys morphed into a new name in the NFL, and they registered with the league offices as the Pittsburgh Pirates NFL Club. He named the Pirates to pay respect to the baseball club of the city that he was extremely fond of, and I'm sure he probably attended many of the Pittsburgh Pirates games, as they were pretty good back in the early 20th century. Art Rooney Sr. applied for entry of his proposed franchise on May 19, 1933, and less than 2 months after that, on July 8, 1933, the National Football League president, Joe Carr at the time, announced via newsletter that Rooney was approved to join the 10-team league in the fall of 1933 to fill a vacancy that had been caused by the withdrawal of the Staten Island franchise. So they weren't directly from the Staten Island franchise. They were their own team, but there was an absence of a team because of Staten Island folding. Pittsburgh came in with the Pirates to fill it up with Art Rooney Sr. The team had to play an early and nighttime weekday games until the new Pennsylvania law would allow them to play the games on Sunday. The rest of the league was playing Sundays, but there were a few that were playing some games on Saturdays. You know, we know that Frankfurt and Pottsville played some Saturday games, you know, prior to that 1933 season. And the Pirates, they lost their very first game. The first two games were at home. They lost the very first one to the New York Football Giants 23-2. Got smacked around a little bit by the Giants, who were about six seasons into their seasons of being in the NFL. And they played at Forbes Field both these games, and it wouldn't take long for the upstart team to find victory, though, as the very next week, the Chicago Cardinals came to town, and the Pittsburgh Professional Football Club upset the Cardinals 14-13 in the friendly confines of Forbes Field. So how's that one for the history book? Sorry, Joe Ziemba, but the Pirates' first victory was over the Chicago Cardinals. And during the first few years of its inception, the team did not even have a coach, and things were pretty tough. You know, Art took an alternate route to collect money on to pay the team forward. He ended up gambling his remaining money that he had and won a bunch of bets and accumulating a large sum of money in a short time. In 1936, it got really bad, and he took a huge risk again by betting and won a parlay at the Saratoga Racecourse, which won him $160,000, you know, allegedly with Tim Mara of the Giants, who was his friend. And I believe Mr. Mara had was a stakeholder in Saratoga's racecourse at that time. And he probably had a weekend with the boys. Well, Rooney won $160,000 on that parlay. And he put the money to good use and hired a coach and paid contract amounts to his players. And despite a lot of facilities that the team had, they still struggled to emerge as a very good team in the NFL. In 1941, when the funds ran out from that bet, Art had to sell the team to a New York businessman, Alex Thompson, and he used those funds to buy 70% stake in the Philadelphia Eagles, owned by his friend Burt Bell, while 30% of the shares were still owned by Bell. Now, soon after that, Art managed to persuade Alex Thompson to trade teams with him, and hence, he and Burt Bell took over ownership of the Pittsburgh team, while Thompson took over the Eagles. So it's kind of a swap there, the Pennsylvania polka that he called it. And then on the on-field product was still not very good in the NFL before that next season. And finally, the team changed its name to try to change its course from the Pirates to the Pittsburgh Steelers. However, due to the lack of finances, consistently poor performance, the team merged with the Philadelphia Eagles and in the following year with the Chicago Cardinals to get through the war and the lack of manpower through that Second World War time. It was very tragic, and a lot of men had lost, people had things elsewhere, and finally when the war was over, 1946, Art became the team's president, and the team's luck just didn't change until the 1970s. They had a brief period in 1947 where they were halfway decent, but still just couldn't win that title. And we all know what a delight it was when the Steelers finally started winning in the 1970s. And the patience of the team's founder, the gambler, finally paid off as he watched his team win multiple Super Bowls in those 1970s. Four of them, in fact. A true sportsman at heart, Art also played a huge role in reviving the game of hockey in Pittsburgh by using his influence to help them get an NHL franchise. He became part owner of the city's hockey team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, in the late 1960s, and also became owner of the Yonkers Raceway in 1972 and later acquired the Liberty Bell Park racetrack. Love that horse racing. Paid some bills early on in his football career. In 1964, he was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Duquesne University also honored this great man by naming its football field after him, and I'm sure the Rooneys donated a bunch of money to them over the years, Art and his sons and grandsons had done that. Well, unfortunately, Art passed away on August 25th, 1988, in the Pittsburgh area. He was 87 years old at the time of his death, and what a tremendous franchise he had helped build, as well as a young NFL league, and all the great accomplishments he did. And that's why I chose Art Rooney as our first spotlight on, the great football contributions of Western Pennsylvania, because there's a guy that's Western Pennsylvania through and through, and he really made his mark on the game of football. We hope you enjoyed this little bit of history on Western Pennsylvania. We're going to try to do this each Saturday on some great Western Pennsylvania football. Hope you enjoyed it. But don't fear, we still have our regular series and programs happening throughout the week, and we're going to bring you some great football history each and every day right here, pigskindispatch.com. If you want more on sports, we have the Sports History Network that we are a part of, and also our very own Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast on jerseydispatch.com. We have some great sports history there as well. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You and learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.